Friends, this morning we want to think about our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is alive even today. But my friends, there are many leaders in this world who are dead and buried. They're even put on a show. Where do you find Jesus Christ? Where would you see Him? Can't go to a place and say, this is where we can see Jesus Christ? No, here is a statue of Him? No. That's not how we see Christ. We see Him in the Word, and we see Him by faith. We trust in Him by faith. But there are people you can see, you can go around and see their images and their tombs and their bones and so on. I was reading yesterday morning of Vladimir Lenin, who was a driving force behind the communist revolution of 1917, in Russia and the Soviet Union. He was that first dictator of Soviet Union. He died in 1924, and his body is still on public display. Periodically, those responsible for his body have to take him out of his glass case, and they have to wash the corpse and with various chemicals, and they have to do repair work on his body. And do you know right now, most of his body is not actually his body. Bits of metal, bits of plastic, and all sorts of things, because you can't keep a body like that, keep using chemicals on a body like that and put them on outside on display. So there is not much left of him, just wax and makeup. Praise God, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is alive. He was placed in the tomb, in a sepulcher, after He died for our sins on that cross. But then on the third day, He arose. He came out. Or the stone was rolled away. There is no mention of Him coming out. It simply says that the angel came and rolled the stone away. That's all. The tomb was already empty. We were reading yesterday from Proverbs 25 and verse 25, that said this: as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Today, my friends, as every Lord's Day, the world calls it Sunday, we have exciting news, wonderful news to share. Today we celebrate the glorious news that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not dead. He's not lying in the grave. Today we celebrate, as always, the fact that He is risen from the dead and that the tomb that He occupied is empty. You can go and visit it. The exciting news that Jesus is alive is news we need to hear. We need to share it again and again. It's the news that should cause rejoicing. It should make sinners happy that we don't go to a dead Savior. We don't pray to a dead person, but we go to a living one who hears us and He answers our prayers when we call upon Him. Lord, save me. He does save. Have you ever done that? That news, my friends, gives us hope. Hope. Not like the hope that the world talks about. For the assured hope, blessed hope today, the hope of His resurrection would fill our hearts with joy that there is one who is alive. There is one who will never die. All of our friends, all of our loved ones, we ourselves, we will die one day. But Jesus Christ will not die. He will be there for His people to that final hour. And then He says, I will come unto you and receive you unto myself. He even carries us to heaven itself. So our Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. I would like for us to take some time this morning to go back, return to Jerusalem, and look in on the events that took place early that morning of that first day of the week. It marked such a change, that day marked such a change that even the day of the Sabbath changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Till now, Christians have been gathering on the first day of the week, every Lord's Day, coming to worship in the name of Jesus Christ. That is why there was a change in the day. And we see here a message. A message is declared by an angel of the resurrection of the Savior. And he shares this with these women who come to the tomb. At dawn on the first day of the week, 3 days following the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of these women who had trusted him, followed him, supported him, and had been faithful to him all the way to the cross, they approach his grave to finish preparing his body for burial. See, they had not finished that. They came there that morning with spices, expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ still lying in a tomb with a stone rolled over its mouth and being guarded by Roman soldiers. But they were in for a surprise, weren't they? And they were in for a shock of their life. Rather than finding the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, see all these soldiers, they're falling flat on their faces. They're scared stiff. They have fallen like dead men. They have not died. But when the angel had come, they had fainted, as it were. And then what do they see? They see the stone that was so heavy that would need so many men to carry it off was rolled away already. So rather than finding the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they heard this news by this angel. And they heard this news that energized and encouraged their hearts. They heard this news that shook the earth to its very foundations. They heard the news that still reverberates through the corridors of time and into eternity. And this is the song of those in heaven still, of the risen Christ. And as that little band of women approached the tomb that day, they said that the earth shook, the angel appeared, the stone had rolled away from the mouth of the tomb. And as I said as well, don't think that the angel rolled the stone away so Jesus Christ would get out. He was already out. He did so that these people would go in, not for Christ to come out. For he did that so that the disciples would see and go in as they did later. So that gleaming angel, whose countenance was like lightning, the scripture says, and whose clothes were as white as snow, he sat upon the stone which had been rolled away. And the soldiers who were there to guard the tombs, they were so shaken, they had fallen, and they were not there. These women approached. The angel answered all their questions. He already knew that they had these questions. You see, they don't even say anything. It says that the angel answered. They had a puzzled face, full of thoughts, full of doubts, full of concerns, full of questions. What did the angel say? Look at those words in verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And this morning I want you to come and see the risen Savior. That's what we ought to be doing. The facts of the angel's message, they are what we want to think about. What was this message? To come and see the Lord. Come and see the place. And then go and tell the disciples. But the first thing is this, that we learn, is the comfort of the risen Savior. The comfort that the risen Savior gives, and the message that is preached by these angels, is a message of comfort. It wouldn't comfort anybody if Jesus Christ had not risen. It would be a message of doom and gloom. But that's not what they said. So this is what they said. In verse 5, fear not ye. Fear not ye. Be calm, they are saying. So having already experienced the events of the previous days, these ladies were filled with fear. They were filled with anxiety. You see, they had seen the arrest. They had seen the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen where he had shed his blood. And then they had seen him being buried. Buried, and the door was shut. The stone was rolled away. And they thought, that's it forever. What are we going to do now? We had left everything and we followed him. What shall we do now? Well, I've heard recently from some of you about your fears. About your fears about the future. What should you do? You've said, I'm afraid of this and that. Here, my friends, were these women with fears too. Their hearts were already heavy. They were already troubled over the death of their Lord. And they became even more troubled at the sight that met them at that day as they approached the tomb early in the morning. The message of the resurrection is, fear not. Stay calm. Have faith. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Christ is risen. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ said to Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus had died. Fear not. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. And here is the same thing. We can, my friends, experience calm. We can experience peace. We can experience rest through any situation and circumstance that you and I face because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The issue is, do you know him? Do you know him? It's not enough to say, I know about him. I agree with various things that I read in the Bible, but do you know him? Have you experienced his salvation? Why do we say that? Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead proves that God is sovereign, proves that God is in control. He's in absolute control. Nothing was happening, you see, by chance. All of these things that we are reading of, they were part of God's plan to save us. If he can raise his son from the dead, then there is nothing our God cannot do. This is what we read. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The issue is that you are filled with doubts and fears. What should you do? Go to Christ this morning. Repent of your sins. Seek him. Say, Lord, save me. Take control of my life. A God that powerful knows how to give peace to his children in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the things that you are going through. A God that powerful sent his son, his only begotten son, his son who died in our place. And through his death, that powerful guilt, my friend, you're under a great power. If you are still unconverted, you have the great power of guilt over you. You have the great burden of sin over you. You have the great powerful condemnation of sin over you. How will that be lifted? What are you going to do? Our arms are weak. Our souls are dead. What shall we do then? It is Jesus Christ. We need someone else to take that load. And he has done that at the cross. So there is the words of comfort. Fear not. Fear not. But then there is something else in this message. It gives courage, you see. It's the message of courage. It should instill courage in our hearts. And that's what it did for these women. It should instill courage in us too, because death was defeated for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. This gives courage to the sinner who trusts in Jesus Christ. Death is no longer our enemy, the Bible says. For those who trust in Christ, no longer our enemy, but it is the as it were, a friend of the child of God. This is what we read. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For the Apostle Paul, he says, for me to live is Christ. While I live in this world, Jesus Christ has saved me, and he will be with me, and I'm living for him, I'm living in him. But to die, am I going to lose anything? No, I will gain everything. I will be with Christ, which is far better. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 and 8. For we know, he says, you know this? He says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says, your body will be dissolved. This is our temple. But we have a house made not with hands. In heaven above. And then he says in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This message that Jesus Christ is alive and has risen from the dead, it should give us courage because he lives and is seated at the right hand of God, praying as well on our behalf. Jesus Christ is not silent, speaking on the behalf of all of his children and all of those who will trust in him. This is what we read in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, that he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That is, he saves them completely to the uttermost. There is nothing in us that he will not save. There is nothing that stops him from saving sinners. And it says, to all those who come unto God by him, seeing, it says, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's Hebrews 7 and verse 25. He's making intercession. He's presenting himself and he's calling upon his Father on the behalf of his own people. You see, friends, the empty tomb inspires awesome courage in those who experience its power. And this is why the disciples were given the courage and stamina to go and preach the gospel in the presence of their enemies. This is why they went knowing they would be put to death, knowing they would be persecuted. But they went. What did give them this courage? It was the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. What will give you courage in your life? At the moment, you're timid. You're just going with the flow. You're just carrying on, trying to make a life for yourself and studying and just doing everything that everybody else is doing. Gives you courage in this life, knowing that you are following not this world, but the Christ who is alive. But also, it gives us confidence. Fear not, he says. Fear not. That should fill our hearts with confidence because Jesus Christ always keeps his word. Fear not. Why should we not fear? Because Jesus Christ keeps his word. His promises are real and certain. This is exactly what he had said before, that he will rise from the dead. He will raise the temple of his body again. And so this is the thing. And that's why the angel says, what are you fearing about? Don't fear. He has done what he said. Should we doubt him? No, we can count on him. He will do what he says. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, friends. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us what Peter says, lively hope. Lively hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5, let me read it to you. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. He's brought us alive. He's given us life unto a lively hope. This hope that is alive. This hope is ever new. It says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what gives us hope, a lively hope. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a promise for those who are born again, children of God. Is that you? So let us move on now to a second thing that I have, and that is the challenge of this message, the challenge of the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this again in verse 6. He is not here, he says, for he is risen as he said. And then he says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. That's the challenge. The challenge to examine. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see where the Lord, the Savior, was lying there. Was lying there just before. A little while ago he was there. But come and see, he's not there. So it's an invitation to examine the claim of the resurrected Lord. His body, which had been previously placed inside the tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus, no longer lies there where they had placed him. Oh, it could have been stolen, some would say. It could have been stolen away because the Roman guards, where were they? They were not there, but the issue is they were there all through the night. They were there all through the night, and they had sealed the stone. It couldn't have been broken. It was sealed. Friends, the empty tomb is a powerful argument of the message of salvation and the message of Christianity, the message of Christ. It's interesting to note that no search was ever made for the body of the Lord. It doesn't tell us that they went looking for the body of the Lord, though officials could have claimed and said, look, the disciples have stole it. Well, why didn't they arrest anybody? They had no evidence, you see. There were never any arrests made of any of the disciples, though one could think that they would have been likely suspected of it. And if we examine the claims of the resurrection, and there have been many examined by the greatest minds in the past 2,000 years or so of church history, there is no other explanation, friends, but that Jesus Christ did just as he had promised. In John 10 and verse 18, this is what we read. No man taketh it from me. No one is going to take my life from me. But I lay it down of myself. He was already dead when they came to break his legs. He was already dead before any of the others who were on the cross. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Friends, he rose from the dead in victory and glory and power. You may not have ever heard of Sir Lionel Lukku, but he was he is, if you look him up in the Guinness Book of World Record, he is there, and he's listed as the most successful trial lawyers ever in history. He had successfully defended 245 murder cases till now in a row, and yet despite his fame, he was an atheist. He was an ardent atheist. He rejected his family's faith and had become an atheist. And with all of his success, with all of his fame, with all of his wealth, he felt empty as he was reaching his retirement. He was feeling very empty inside. And the older he got, the more meaningless life appeared to him. Then at the age of 63, he turned his analytical skills to the claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he found the message of Jesus' resurrection. It satisfied his personal needs and his intellectual questioning. This is what he wrote. I have spent more than 42 years as a defense trial lawyer in many parts of the world. I say unequivocally, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. And he was converted. He said, I can't continue in this unbelief. I bow to Jesus Christ, my only Savior. So here they were told, come and see where the Lord lay. The challenge was, come and examine. But also the challenge was to come and experience too. Come and experience. So the message of the angel who rolled the stone away is also an invitation to experience. You must see it for yourself. You must experience this for yourself. And to see, come see. It means to know. To know. Jesus Christ not only wants us to believe in the resurrection of Christ, though there are people who say, I believe in the resurrection. They filled churches this morning. But the Lord Jesus Christ must be known personally, must be known to experience him in a personal way. In 2010, a survey was done of how many people in the United Kingdom believe in the resurrection of Christ. And 64% of people, it's amazing, 64% said that they believe in the resurrection. But that does not mean that 64% know him. The resurrected Christ wants us to know him. Come see. It is not enough just to know the facts. You can say the Apostles' Creed. You can say the various parts of the Scripture for yourself. But it's something different to know the Savior for yourself. No one else can know it for you. Your parents cannot know it for you. You must know the Savior yourself. We live in a generation which is marked by knowledge. So many things. We must learn. We must know. And yet, while men learn more and more, they are steadily moving further and further away from the Lord, from God. In 1948, General Omar Bradley said this, and I think it's so relevant. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. With the monstrous weapons man already has, humanity is in danger of being trapped in this world by moral adolescence. Our knowledge of science has already outstripped our capacity to control it. We have too many men of science, too few of God. How true that is. Mankind has accumulated so much advanced knowledge that simple facts of crucifixion and the resurrection seems too simple, too old-fashioned. It's what people used to believe in the past. But that is the only message, my friends, that Christianity offers. This is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. You can't be a Christian and not know this and believe this and experience this. It is the message to save your lost soul. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This is what was preached. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is it? A person saying, well, what must I do? What can I do? How can I be saved? This is what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Have you met the risen Lord? Have you surrendered yourself to him? Or are you still carrying on with a hard heart and saying, no, I'm not going to listen to all this nonsense. Are you like that? Well, how is it faring with you? How is it working out for you? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there hope of what will happen, where you will end up after you die? If your knowledge of Jesus Christ begins with just him in a manger as a baby and then ends with something about bunnies and eggs, which is a pagan thing altogether, I hope you understand that. Bunnies that we see, why is it eggs? And people buy it and they would give it to one another and so on. But that's all the relics of paganism of the past. It is the worship of the fertility gods. Why is it eggs? Why is it bunnies? Because it was from a fertility gods that people used to worship in the past and still to this day. But if that's all that there is to your understanding of things, friends, that is not the gospel. That is not the way of salvation. Why were the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ necessary? Why is it that it must be believed, it must be preached, it must be known by each one of us? This is what the scripture says. Let me read it to you from Romans 5 and verses 6 onwards. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's why his death is important. That's why we must understand. It was for the ungodly. For those like you and me who are ungodly, Jesus Christ died. And then verse 8 says this, but God commendeth his love towards us. That is, God displays, demonstrates, shows his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see yourself as a sinner? Or you think you're all right? You think, well, I've become religious. I'm doing this and that. I've gone through various rituals. I've been confirmed or whatever else. I've been baptized as a baby. I've been baptized as an adult. I've joined the church or whatever else we might say. No, no. If that is all we have of our Christianity, that's not enough. That's not going to save us. It says this, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, talking about people being enemies of God, if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. My friends, the same message of invitation extended by the angel still stands today. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us and he rose again for sinners like you and me. And if you would come to him, repent of sins, that means to turn away from your old life, sins, turn to the Lord, follow him, he will save you too. Cry out to him, even today. My friends, when we do that, we experience his power of resurrection. That is the abundant life that Jesus Christ refers to. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And very quickly, finally, there's the command that is given to them. The command of this good news. This message of the resurrection has a command attached to it. Not for the unchristians, not for those who are not yet saved, but for the Christian. The message of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and his resurrection, is a message filled with commands. Once we have experienced this resurrection of the Lord Jesus, once we have been saved, once we have come, and once we have seen, we are commanded to go and tell. That's what we are commanded to do. Sadly, the great theme of our Lord's death and resurrection have ceased to touch our hearts. But here it says, the angel said, and go quickly, verse 7, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go and tell. So there's this command to depart, to go. The angelic message is an imperative message. It's one of command. It calls for action. It doesn't say just to listen to the sermon. Come and see. And that's it. Enjoy it. And that's it. No, it involves this engagement on our part. Now we are responsible. Now we have the truth. Now we are saved. What are we going to do? He says to these ladies, go. That's what you should do. Christian friends, are we living as though our Lord Jesus Christ is risen and living within our hearts, within our lives? Are we sharing this message that he lives? Jesus Christ lives. Look at your life. These are all your troubles, but I know of a Savior who lives. Are we sharing that, or are we lingering around the tomb? We are to take the good news that it is, the tomb is empty, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we need to do that into the entirety of the world. The message of the resurrection then calls us to action. It calls us to engage in the work of the risen Lord. But also it's a command to deliver. Command to deliver. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly. The word quickly, it means without delay. Don't delay. Don't stop. So these women were commanded to go with a sense of urgency. Christians, do you feel that sense of urgency? Well, if you feel the sense of urgency, then what do you do about it? What do you do? When you know there is a world, when you know your families, you know your colleagues or your neighbors, and the urgency of knowing that they're on that broad road that is leading them to destruction, and they've taken up being some sort of a religion even. But if you know that they are not saved, you must go and tell them without delay about the Savior. The message of the tomb, my friends, is still the message of this hour. Come, see, and then go and tell. The message that we have been given is an urgent message. It's an urgent message because people are dying. Spiritually, they are dead and they are dying. Thousands die daily without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ who is risen. And it's imperative, it is urgent that we reach them with the news of the resurrection. It is urgent that they know that He lives so that they may live also. You think about the birth rate. How many people are being born into this world? 129 million births there are per year. How many of them do hear about Jesus Christ? There is the death rate. About 158,000 people die every day. Just in this short message that we have heard today, how many have died? About 5,000 people in this time that we have been sitting here have died in this world. Most of them, do they know the Lord? Have they known the Lord? Or have they fallen into that great abyss and been separated from God and be cast into the outer darkness? It is a horrifying thing. They need to hear the gospel then. They need to hear it today, as our Lord Jesus commanded us to tell, go and tell into all the world. And the reason it is urgent is because also people are deceived. Many are deceived. Many are worshiping false gods and false Christ. They think this is Jesus Christ, but they think, well, I believe in Jesus Christ and also my good works. I believe in Jesus Christ and also my prayers. I will believe in Jesus Christ and also will go to the Lord's Supper or the Mass. I will believe in Jesus Christ, but also will add to it my baptism and all of these kinds of things. But none of those things will save. Jesus Christ will save us. So the only hope that people have is hearing the good news, the truth of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And when they hear about Him, we can trust the Spirit of God to convict them and to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody of every deceased leader and founder of every major religion in this world is in a tomb somewhere. But you can search every tomb in Israel and you will never find the bones and the dust of the Lord Jesus Christ's body. We know our Lord lives. It is our duty to take the gospel to those who are without the Lord. This is what we read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But also, we must go because people are despondent. Go quickly and tell His disciples, we read. The disciples were despondent. They were dejected. They were despairing after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are hiding behind the locked door in fear. They need to hear this message. The Lord Jesus Christ lives. He has risen. He's promised it. He fulfilled it. It's happened just as He said. So people who do not have the Lord Jesus, they have no hope, no real hope, and they need to hear this message too. Friends, this is the thing. This is our confidence. This is the thing that we must take to our hearts. We must go to the wonderful physician of our souls, Jesus Christ, who died. The physician died. The Savior gave his blood so that we might be saved, but he's risen. This is the kind of physician that we have. This is the kind of doctor that we have. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, said this: other physicians can only cure them that are sick, but Christ cures them that are dead. That's the one that we are preaching this morning. So my friends, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. And for the Christian, it says, he goeth before you, going ahead of us. Wherever you are going, Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there. You are one of his children. He's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. And it says that they shall see him. They shall see him there. Well, that is in the Christian's life, we see the Lord Jesus. So this is the message. In Proverbs we read, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Greatest news that I ever heard was the exciting news that God sent his only begotten Son for a sinner like me, that Jesus Christ died for me, that he rose again, and that he would save me if I was to trust in him and turn away from my sin. Have you experienced the good news from the empty tomb 2,000 years ago? Is Jesus Christ your Savior today? Are you ready to meet him? Well, we can be saved today by God's grace. If he's calling us to come to him, then we must go to him today by faith. Before even the service finishes, before you go out, call upon the Lord. And through the day, seek him while he may be found. And if you're a Christian, you ask yourself this question: am I living like I believe in the resurrection? Am I living in the way that the Lord has said? Well, may the Lord then bless these thoughts to our hearts. Amen.